Hey there, fabulous teacher. Have you been wondering how to make writing time in your classroom more effective for your students? Do you want your students to love writing time? If so, I think it's time for you and I to start transforming your writing instruction. I'm Melissa Morrison, and I have a passion for helping teachers to feel confident in teaching writing and help them grow successful writers. I've worked with numerous teachers to guide them through this transformation, and in this podcast, I bring you the practical strategies you need to make writing the best time of your day. Let's get going. Hey there, teacher, and welcome to episode 57. It is part two of the Q&A from a recent workshop. And today we're just going to talk about two questions that came from teachers that hopefully will be helping you as well. So the first question to talk about today is, how can I help emerging writers? And just to give a little background, during the workshop, I had shown teachers the stages of writing, the developmental stages of writing. And, you know, what's really crazy is that teachers, even teachers who are teaching kindergarten, first grade, and teachers who went to school for teaching, are not often aware of the stages of writing and what it looks like. I don't know why this isn't something that happens during school when you are in an education program, especially early childhood or elementary education. But it doesn't always happen. And so we had gone over the stages of writing. And so you're going to, if you were to look up the developmental stages of writing or the stages of writing development, you'll see a few different things generally, because what you're going to mostly see is other people's something they have made for their own school district or for themselves that shows the stages. And so they tend to be worded a little bit differently. But there is pre-literate, emergent, transitional, and fluent writing. And so pre-literate is when you're going to have students or children, because this happens at a very young age, where there is just some scribbling, maybe some symbols, some shapes. Scribbling eventually will kind of go from left to right. And then there'll be like maybe some mock letters. Those are all in a preliterate stage. And then in emergent writing, they're going to start to write some letters correctly, write some letters in strings where they do not have any sound symbol relationship at all. It's just they write the letters. Then they might do that, but they start to resemble words. They may then begin to have the beginning sound in this invented spelling word. Labels to their pictures is part of this stage. And sometimes the labels are just one letter, say the beginning sound. And then they start to do some environmental print so they can copy the print that they see, even though they don't necessarily know how to spell that on their own. And then they start to do some using of letters with sounds maybe in a sentence. So it might be just three letters for a three-word sentence. And then it moves on to more invented spelling. And so look it up if you're not familiar, because it is extremely important when you are working with any student in this stage. And I say that because it's going to mostly be kindergarten that is going through some of these stages, hopefully starting with emergent in kindergarten, but first graders can certainly be as well. And every once in a while, I've had a second grader that's still in emergent or transitional writing. But it's very important to know it when you're in those lower grades, because we need to know, you know, I talk about this a lot. You have to know where your writers are. And if they are in these stages of writing before fluent writing, they're not writing in complete sentences, and we need to know what they are doing. Also, what you see a student write is what they hear. Sound-wise, it's going to show their phonemic awareness. And so you get, and I just heard someone say this, I attended the virtual Saturday reunion from Advancing Literacy, the reading and writing project recently. And one of the presenters was saying that, you know, the writing that students produce every day is just a free tool. It's a free screener for phonemic awareness and phonics development. Because we are seeing that what they hear is what they write. And so we know what sounds they're recognizing in the words that they're saying, and therefore what they are writing down. So with all of that being said, this teacher was asking this based on what she had just seen about the stages of writing development, knowing that she has writers who are in the stage of just environmental print or being able to label one letter maybe on their pictures. And, you know, a lot of times what I see the focus being on, even in kindergarten, is getting students to write sentences and wanting to give them everything they need, like sentence starters or something partially written out so they fill in a word, everything they need to be able to produce a sentence. And, you know, we want them to get to the point where they can write a sentence. And in some parts of your literacy block, you can do interactive writing where you are writing sentences together, or you can have them write a dictated sentence. But they don't need to be doing that in writing time if they are not yet able to do that on their own. And so she wanted to know what they can be doing. How is she helping those writers? So one, you're helping them with everything you do in reading. So if you are doing phonemic awareness, you are doing phonological awareness, you are working on phonics, you are reading aloud, you are doing shared reading in kindergarten and first grade. All of those things are helping your emergent writers. And then what's really going to help them is that you allow them to write on their own at their own level. And so that means you're not giving them that graphic organizer sentence starter. You're letting them draw their picture, which is part of their writing. Some of them, that's all they're doing. But you're having them do that and then whatever they can do with it. And so when you know, though, what they can do, so let's say her writer is drawing a picture and is able to independently put a beginning sound as a label for the picture. So let's say they're doing that. Now we know where they are, so we know what we can begin to teach them. And so in that case, if they truly can do that on their own, not with you saying, oh, what would you put as a label? But if they really can do that, then I would ask them to do more labels. So label all the parts or label more things in their picture, because then that is more opportunity for them to practice saying the word and writing a symbol or writing a label for it. If you have an emergent writer who is writing more than one sound for their label, or actually instead of actually considering a label because they're not doing right next to their picture, they are writing something down on, you know, the line or where lines would be, or just putting something on their page. And let's say they are using some environmental print, so they have you have a word wall, high frequency words, and they're using them. Then you know that they are now aware that those are words that they should use, but they're not quite, you know, you could see whether or not they're using them correctly. Because if they're not, then they need to start to understand that these, you know, the words we want to write are the words that match our picture. And then if they're writing, let's say I went home, and they use an I and a W and an H. Now, you know, they're hearing their beginning sound. They are understanding that they're supposed to be recording something for each of those words. Now that you know that, you know that in reading, you're going to continue to work on them hearing the ending sound as well. And then you might have a goal for them to write their ending sound in their sentences as they're doing their independent writing. So I guess my biggest suggestion for helping these emergent writers would be to know where they are, which is I talk about a lot, and then knowing where they are on that, you know, on that stage of writing development, so that you know what you want them to get to next. And then you can think of what you would need to do or teach in order to help that. So whether it's in reading or in writing, because when you know where they are now in writing time, your modeled writing can be writing two letter sounds on their labels, or writing the beginning and ending sounds in their words. And you think about what is working for your class and what you need to model or what you can do in a shared writing. But ultimately, you're always just wanting them to independently do what they can do. And then what I would also say is that, remember, even though they are emergent writers who need to learn how to write letters and words, they also need the other part of writing, which is the composing part. And I've spoken about this in previous episodes. It's more than just the transcription. We also have to get them to understand that what writing means, that they can have ideas and put them down on the page, that there are different reasons to write, different modes of writing or different products to produce. There are genres. You can tell a story. You can tell a story with a beginning, middle, and end. And then you might just do that in pictures. But all of the things that you think about when it comes to writing are things they need to also know and learn about, and they can eventually do in their own writing. Whether they are spelling words correctly or not, they can still do that. So if you have a class who is mostly doing pictures and then maybe some are doing a label or a couple sounds in their words, you know that everything that you model can just be a little bit higher than where those students are. So you can still model a story with pictures across pages. You can model an informational piece with pictures across pages. That is all still possible. So for emerging writers, you want to let them write where they are, know where they are, and remember all the parts to writing instruction. And then the second and final question of today's episode is, when I find my students' levels, meaning where they are on the stages of writing development, or if they're past this, they are fluent writers, where they are as a writer, or where they are in their genre is what the teacher was talking about. Once I know where my students are, do I then create groups and work with them in groups, or do I teach these things as a whole class? And so I would say that this is not a clear-cut answer because it depends on how your students are kind of split up and what the things are that you are trying to focus on. And so first of all, there are so many aspects to look at, right? So just like reading instruction, there are all these things that we need to consider. So I would think about what it is that you are wanting to focus on. And I know there are so many things. But so let's say, again, we're back to these emergent writers. But we also want to think about not just their transcription and what they can do as writers, but also where they are as thinking about writing. You know, do they enjoy it and their engagement? I've spoken before about those aspects and how important they are. And so I would think sometimes you have to think about these things separately. So that's one thing I want to say about it. So you have to think about what you want to look at. And then I say that, so typically in a workshop structure, what you're thinking of is 80% of your class to consider a mini lesson. So the thing that you are going to work on with the whole class, you want to know that at least 80% of your class needs that. And then if you have things that, you know, so let's say the 20% that either weren't ready for this mini lesson teaching point or were past ready for it, then you know that there are things that when you do meet with them, whether it is if you pull them in a small group or you meet with them individually, you want to check in on where they are, right? How do you need to help them when you go and confer with them? So that's how you kind of determine what you want to do whole group. Then when you think about whether or not you have to do small group, well, first of all, I wouldn't start pulling small groups until you're ready. So until you have an idea of where your class is, until your class is engaged, you know, most of your students are engaged, until your routines are down, I wouldn't pull small groups, A. B, there's so many things I could talk about as far as how you could run those groups, but I would, just as a cautionary tale, those groups are not going to be, okay, well, these students are struggling, so these are the ones I'm going to pull so we can write something together all the time. That's not necessarily the way to do it. So I would have to have a separate episode, I guess, about that. But I really think it depends on how your class is laid out. So this is where the data comes in. So, and this teacher is planning on taking data. And so when you look at that and you have this whole class sheet and you have all these areas to look at and you notice, wow, okay, 50% of my class is doing well in this area and 50% of my class is not. Well, a 50-50 split, you're probably going to have to think about how that can happen whole class almost. I mean, 50%, I know it's not 80, but that seems kind of hard. Now, again, this is only in one area. So let's say it's in engagement. Well, that's a pretty big thing. I think we really need to work on engagement. But if you say, well, there's really only 4 of my students who are struggling with this, okay, well, then you might say, I'm going to do a couple small groups to work on that. So to me, it depends on where the class is laid out, what are the things that you are seeing. But when you think about, you know, if you're just wanting to ask what to teach between whole group and small group, I would say look for about that 80% of what it is that you, your students are needing. So I hope these questions have been helpful for you. And if any of them make you come up with new questions, please let me know. I could use them and answer them on another podcast episode. I would love to hear what it is that my listeners would like to know, because I know all of you are in different parts of your journey. You might have listened to every episode and still feel like you're at the very beginning, or you might be really implementing a lot of things and you have a more in-depth question to ask, but I would love to know. So feel free to email me, to find me on Instagram, and send me a message and let me know it's about the podcast. I would love to hear it. Hey again, I am so happy to have had you listen in again today. I would like to ask a little favor. If you're enjoying the podcast, could you take a moment to go wherever it is that you listen and write a review and tell others what you find so great about these episodes? I would love to be able to share it with more teachers to help them in their writing instruction, just as hopefully I've been helping you. Thank you so much.